Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And I can't think of anything else, but that's enough, I suppose. It's great to have you here this morning. Let me just do a little business before we get started with the message. Let me thank Bruce Bedingfield for leading us with our message last week. It's great to have people in the church who can lead the church when I'm not around. In fact, sometimes it's even a little better, I would think. Also, I want to thank just a special announcement. Around holidays, sometimes it is hard to get certain things done and when difficulties happen around holidays. Some of you probably know the Kobolewskis. Tom Kobolewski passed away just a few days ago. And over the New Year's holiday, it's sometimes hard to get organized to get things done. But I just wanted to thank some of the church leadership who were here. They stepped up when it wasn't their job to come and to set things up. Especially if you know our secretary, Donna Eckner. So many of you know her. She came on her day off to help set up for the dinner. And so it's just a gift for us for her to be able to do that. So thank her and tell her I mentioned her in church, would you? It'll make her feel good, but she'll want to kill me for it, I know. It's because the first service was the same. Secondly, we end our series this day on Christmas, on the sense of belonging and feeling safe around Christmas and who do we belong to. Next week, we're going to begin a series on family. How do we reclaim or recapture what it means for us to be family in the church? Family who are touched by Christ, and how do we do that and grow in our faith in that way? And so I encourage you to stay active with your worship life. And we have three services, 9, 10:30, and when's the other one? 6:33. If you can't make the morning, hit the evening, all right? It's just a wonderful worship team here. All right, am I done? Who said yes? Today is Epiphany. Those of you who have been in the church, you know, we've heard that talked about a lot. Epiphany means a realization or an understanding. The light bulb goes off, if you will. You know, suddenly you see and understand something. Our story for the Epiphany is always the wise men, the Magi. They see a star in the east and they go to find this king who was born the king of the Jews. They want to know who he is. They want to see him. And as they see him in the cradle, they offer him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, gifts that are fitting a king. And in their understanding, our theology tells us, is they understood this child would connect us to God and connect all humanity to God. This is a time when we talk about how that understanding, those realizations we have about who God is and what God is about. If we think about Christmas, you know, Christmas is filled with epiphanies in the stories of Christmas. We know the shepherds, you know, those guys out in the field, they heard angels singing. And instead of thinking they had had too much wine, they had this understanding that it was God doing something. That God was speaking to them, and they were called to see to this child born in a manger, kind of like them, as God came to earth and that realization they had of who Jesus was. We know Mary had an epiphany, an untraditional epiphany. You know, an angel comes and says, you know, you're going to have a baby. You can imagine what she thought about that. And Joseph himself. Joseph, who, when he found out Mary was expecting one, to set her aside. But the angel, in a dream, came to Joseph and said, you know, this is a God thing. Don't be intimidated. Don't be threatened by this pregnancy. God's doing something here. And in each of those, there's this understanding, this realization of what God is doing and what God is about. You know, our story, our Christmas story, from the time Mary is visited by the angel Gabriel until the birth of Christ, it's all about epiphanies and realizations. But it's very interesting, I think, in our culture. Our culture has picked up this is a season of epiphany, of understanding and realization. The Grinch, what does he realize? That Christmas isn't about just what you buy in a store. Do you remember that story? Charlie Brown realizes he still can do stuff with this lousy Christmas tree he brought. But I think one of my favorite stories of the Christmas time is the Scrooge. You know the Scrooge? Christmas Carol? In the story of the Scrooge, you know, well, he is this miserly, mean guy that worships money. He wouldn't help anybody. He's visited by three ghosts, ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. And as he sees his past, he sees people in his past. And he sees what they're about and what that life was about, and something happens to him. When he sees Christmas present, he sees his clerk, Bob... I forgot the first service too. Bob Cratchit, and he saw the need of Tiny Tim. You remember the story. He saw the need that was there, and something happens to him. And as he sees into his future, he sees his need. He may lose his life, if you will. And in seeing those needs, He has an epiphany. He has a realization. It is interesting in the story, is it not? A preacher didn't come and talk to him, did he? He wasn't listening into a church for a sermon. It didn't happen that way. Although in my line of work, I probably shouldn't say that, should I? He didn't read Scripture. He didn't sing a song. He didn't have a prayer. He saw in relationships. He saw what was going on in people's lives. And there was the epiphany. Sometimes when we think about epiphanies, God touching our minds or God touching our hearts, we think in terms of ideas. And I hope every now and then a sermon does something about that. I'm not sure. We think about that. But isn't it in relationships when we do that? And what we're about here is touching people in the relationships of love and grace. The wise men and the shepherds, when they heard and when they saw who this Jesus was and what it was about, they went back and they told. They shared what was in their hearts. They shared what they had saw so it might touch somebody else's life. As we begin this new year, this first Sunday, what does it mean for us to share the love we have been given in Christ? What are the first steps, the baby steps we might take so that we might be those who share that love of Jesus like they did, like Paul did? And I think it has to do with epiphanies, seeing and realizing and understanding. So I have a short story. And I do apologize. How many were here at the 11 o'clock Christmas Eve service? This is a repeat. This is a rerun right away. You get reruns, you know that, right? But usually not right away, but it's a wonderful story, and I'm going to use it just a little different, so bear with me. And if you fall asleep during it, I'm okay with that. All right? Story is about a gentleman named Jose Hernandez. He lives in New York City. Mr. Hernandez is a social worker in the city. He lives near the Bronx. And so when he comes home from work at night, he gets off at a stop at the Bronx at the platform there. And there's a restaurant at his stop, a little deli he likes to go to for evening supper. He lives by himself. He's been there. He goes to this deli a lot. And so he knows everybody there. He knows the cooks. He knows those who clean up. He knows the people who wash the dishes. I mean, he knows everybody. They're like family when he goes to eat. Well, one night, Mr. Hernandez was going home on the train. And he gets off on the platform. Gets off the train, nobody's there except the young man. Young man comes up to him and pulls a knife. Says, "Give me your wallet." So what do? You give him your wallet. So Mr. Hernandez reaches into his pocket and hands him his wallet. But then he has an epiphany. And, you know, if it's me, I'm down the steps right away, you know? And I'm going to share this story, but let me just share this with you. Don't try this at home. This is not the right way to do it. But I assume he knew a little bit as a social worker in the city. I assume he had some training. This is what he did. As the young man took his wallet and started to walk away, Mr. Hernandez says, "Didn't you forget something?" Right there, that's not too bright. You just gave him your wallet. He says, "Didn't you forget something?" And so he takes his coat off. And he hands it out and he says, "You know, it's cold out tonight. If you're going to be out all night stealing things, you may need a coat." Do not try that at home, right? And the young man said, "Excuse me? Are you serious?" And then he says, "You know, I figure that if you're willing to risk your future and doing time in prison for a few dollars, you have some real need in your life, and you may need this coat." And then he says, "I tell you what, I got off here to have dinner. I got off here, there's a little restaurant I go to. Why don't you join me for dinner?" The young man says, "Are you serious?" And he says, "Yeah, come and join me for dinner." And he does. They walk down the steps, they go in the restaurant. They order, they eat. As they're eating, the cooks come out. The waiters and waitresses come out. "Jose, good to see you. Yeah, como esta?" However, you know, whatever. However they talk about it, it's good to see you. The people who wash the dishes come out. And the young man who robbed him says, "Do you own this place? They're all really nice to you." And he says, "No." Jose says, "I was taught if you're nice to others, they'll be nice to you. Weren't you ever taught that?" The young man said, "Yeah, but I didn't think people actually did that." He says, yeah. And so they ate for a while, and then the bill came. Defining moment, right? The bill came. And so Jose turns to the young man. He says, I told you I'd buy your dinner, but you got my wallet. If you give me my wallet back, I'll buy your dinner. He reaches into his pocket and hands it back. And he buys his dinner. As they're going out, they go out to the restaurant. And Jose says he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a $20 bill. And he says, I want to give you something. I want to give you this $20. Here it is. But I need you to give me a gift in return. Give me your knife. And he says, without a hesitation, this young man pulls his knife out, hands it to him, and $20 for a knife, and they walk away. Isn't that an amazing story? Isn't that an amazing story about an epiphany? About a scene, about a realizing. Mr. Hernandez, what did he see? He saw the need and not the sin. He saw the hurt and not the brokenness. It is our Christmas story. God did not see our sin. He saw our need and he sent a son. And because of that, our world and we ourselves will never be the same. And Mr. Hernandez dared to do the same. Now, let me repeat again. Do not try that on a platform in Chicago. It really probably isn't the way to do that. But think about the message of this story. How often in our interactions with others, or when we hear about somebody who does something bad on the news, or when we run into somebody at work or in the neighborhood who does something that we feel like we've been dissed, what's our response? That jerk. We tend to see the sin and forget there is a need behind it. And what epiphanies are about, what understandings are about, isn't some kind of light that comes down and touches our brain and opens up some wonderful understanding of God. Sometimes those can happen, I know. But so often, it's an encounter, it's a relationship, it's an engagement with somebody else that says, there is a need here. And when we as Christ followers love into that need, then God uses that, and amazing things can happen. So I'm not asking you to find a mugger in Chicago, right? I'm asking you to think of your neighborhood, where you work, people that you know. Sometimes people do things that we don't even understand. And what do we often do? We get defensive, we get angry, we get upset. Instead of trying to see the need and what's going on. And I believe when we do that and love into that need, give into that need, offer a word of encouragement into that need, God uses that. I mean, some people I know, you got hard people to work with, don't you? In your office, right next to you, they let you have it every day. Take them a flower one day and see what happens. It'll confuse the heck out of them, right? They'll get really confused. But dare to lean into that need. And when you do, I think God will touch that. So as we begin this new year, let's make a commitment like Scrooge did. Do you remember what he committed? He was going to keep Christmas the whole year round. And that's not about putting up a Christmas tree. It's not about buying gifts all the time. It's not about clashing clothes that we wear all the time at Christmas. What it's about is seeing that need and loving others with that love of Christ. Doing that can make all the difference in the world. You know, I remember, you won't agree with this, but I was a difficult teenager, and I know you. It's hard for you to understand, right? But I remember some uncles in my life who, even when I was as difficult as I could be, they took time with me, and they sat with me, and they invited me to do things with them. And let me tell you, they saw my need. And not my sin. And that made a difference. I remember some teachers who, when I was a teenager, I knew everything. Did any of you too? The age of 18 or 19, I forgot a lot of it. But as a teenager, I knew teachers who, I was just really confident that I knew so much. They saw the need. They didn't see my sin. They sat with me and gave me some of their time. They made all the difference in the world. And I had pastors. Senior pastors who pastor churches twice this size, who saw my need and took time with me when they didn't have time to give. And let me tell you how much that meant to me. That made all the difference in the world. When we start seeing the need and loving into that need, you know, Christ is reborn and love comes into the world. So I'm asking you, be a witness for Jesus Christ and love into the need around you and give God a chance to work through you. Let's bow for prayer. Most loving God, we thank you for this day that you have given us. We thank you for the Christmas season, how Christ came into the world that we might know love. We ask you this day that you give us epiphanies. Open our hearts and minds to the needs around us, that we might love into those needs, that we might not get defensive or upset or angry sometimes, but truly hear, truly see, and love in responsible ways. All this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.